you mess around with your man. It's a shame the way you hurt me. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. I'm sitting all alone by the telephone, waiting for your call. When you don't call at all, it's a shame the way you mess around with your man. It's a shame the way you play with my emotions. It's a shame the way you mess around with your man. You're like a child at play on a sunny day. First you play with love and then you throw it away. You won't appreciate the love we try to make. Oh, it's a got to be a shame. Why do you use me? Why to confuse me? How can you stand to be so cruel? Why don't you free me from this prison? Serve my
WMFO Medford, 10:02 in the morning. It is Saturday, November 11th. It's cold. Have I said that enough? I don't know. I'm going to keep saying it. I am Mike on the mic. We're an hour in so far here at WMFO. Let me tell you what we played in that last set, and then we'll have our in-studio guests come and tell you all about them. Okay, started off with Eric Gales from a brand new release called Middle of the Road. That was Good Time. Classic from the Raspberries. The record was Starting Over, Overnight Sensation. And just before that, Big Head Todd and the Monsters. I mean, just after that. I can't get my directions straight. It's too early. Big Head Todd, Sister Sweetly album. It was bittersweet. What a great tune. And the Spinners. We were just saying in here that you can't help but feel pretty good when you hear that song. From Motown 50th, Yesterday, Today, Forever, 1959 and 1970. That was It's a Shame. All right, so I'm going to turn up the other microphones here, and I want you to meet the band that's in here called the Cast Irons.
Hello.
Local. You guys are kind of from Woburn, are you?
Woburn, Massachusetts. We're one's from
Weymouth,
one's from Woburn. I'm from
North Shore, South Shore.
Yeah, from originally Hudson, Mass, but living in Drake now.
Okay.
I'm from Greensboro, Pennsylvania. Yay! Anyone? Yay!
All four of you.
And this is your first time here, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's first time here. Pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. So
I appreciate it.
So it says here you've been around since, as a band anyway, since like 2012.
Yeah. We've been around since 2012. We started as a trio. We actually just brought in another guitarist, Brian Fernald, who is unable to join us today.
He's invisible today.
He is, yeah. Brian, great job today.
Yeah.
In spirit, absolutely. Thank you. But yes, we started off in 2012, roughly. A mutual friend, Mark Friedman, who I
knew. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark. Hey, he's in the studio. Thank you, Mark. He kind of joined us all together, and I knew Neil from a previous band and Mark from a previous band called Common Thrill back in the early 2000s when I was incorporated into that version. But since 2012, roughly, we've been just recording here and there at Bob's house in Weymouth, and it's kind of a It's kind of a cool little symposium of guitars, amps, and everything. Bob is a collector of sorts of that stuff. So we would come together on weekends and start recording. We pretty much said through the years, let's start recording. And that started to happen, I believe, last spring, roughly?
June, July, whatever.
Yeah.
June, my notes say.
June, that could be the case. We'll go with that.
Yeah. Right. Let's say June.
So why don't we do something that I didn't do because I'm really rude. Let's just have you introduce yourselves. Absolutely. You're holding a guitar there, so I assume that's what you play.
Yes, I'm holding guitar. My name is Eric Downing.
Okay, Eric.
On guitar. And
Bob French on bass.
Okay.
Neil Bauman on drums.
Okay. And the invisible gentleman will play...
Ryan Fernald.
He'll play rhythm guitar?
Yeah, he'll be... yes, he'll be
probably
doing the doo-wops
and
the vocal.
It's a good guitarist. Yeah.
He'll be playing the rhythm guitar and some writing and...
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you had mentioned in your bio that the first time that you played was on WERS.
Correct.
Have you been out in front of a crowd at all playing? Or?
Not yet, really. We've done a couple open mics over the past couple of years.
Oh, those are great to do.
Yeah, they were fun.
Absolutely.
You know, just to get our chops, you know, good in front of an audience. Yeah. But yeah, no major gigs yet. That was our actual first gig, so hopefully that's a good portent of things to come. But
absolutely.
It was good live in the studio, and we made it, and we had a ball. So.
Yeah, so I think once the recordings are done, we have that kind of behind us, and I think what's next is just hitting the pavement, getting some gigs.
So open mic, did you guys meet via an open mic? You all went there, or did you know each other, or how did this happen?
No, actually, Neil and I and Mark, we knew each other, and Mark had introduced us to Bob, and that's kind of how we met. From there, that's how, you know, we started jamming after that.
And you played in the music room downstairs. That was in Woburn. That's where you practice?
So Woburn, we practice upstairs in Neil's little room there, and we do play at Bob's house in Weymouth. So
okay.
Both in between the two.
And we kind of float back and forth.
Okay. So I know that you do a lot of original songs, but you've got quite a list of influences. Let me just read some of them by, just so people get an idea of what you sound like. Yeah. You said you love Radiohead, Elbow, Tears for Fears, Zeppelin, Steely Dan, The Police, Ryan Adams, U2, Genesis, and The Smiths.
All of
so
it.
It's really just a kind of good conglomeration of you guys growing up and hearing stuff. It sounds like
it is. It is, and I wouldn't get hung up on any of those as far as when you're listening to our music. It's not exactly.
We may not sound like any of them.
Yeah,
but there's elements in there for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. So those are inspirations, and when we start writing, that stuff might come up. And you know, as far as lyrically and musically. Yeah.
I just wonder if when we hear you play your stuff, we've got three recorded and three live. Yep. If we'll hear some of those influences in there, probably.
I think.
Listen for him,
little scatterings here and there, absolutely.
So the first track that you want to play is Live, which I'm really excited about.
Yes.
And it's one that is not recorded, Any Port in the Storm, but it's brand new.
Yes, brand new. We just finished recording but we would like to play this one for you live. Neil had wrote this song lyrically, and we all wrote this musically. It's just a great, great little seafaring song, and happy to play for you.
Okay, absolutely. So I'm going to frantically adjust the levels as you start to play. But everybody out there, this live in Studio A, this is the Cast Irons and Any Port in the Storm. Go for it, guys.
Before I sing like a stone, looking
Hey, that was terrific. I'm going to be an applauding person. That was just awesome.
Thank you very much.
Now, tell me about, so was that a collaborative effort to write that?
Actually, that is all Neil's lyrics. So, Neil, I'm going to have you...
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Now, is that the which comes first? Is it lyrics or is it music? Or
I think Neil, you came up with that, and then we just came up with it musically.
Yeah,
it's just like here, guys,
on the spot, and I was absolutely. Like, "That's it."
Is that one of those tracks that didn't take too long to write?
No.
Yeah, that was kind of. It all kind of came together pretty quick.
Yeah, very quick, very quick. And that break was very, I'm just going to drop it because I love Zeppelin, but that break really reminded us of a Zeppelin sort of
the darker kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I was going to say, I'm kind of fumbling around here, so I couldn't really listen to the lyrics. Any particular inspiration for it, or what were you writing about? Or
Keith Richards.
Yeah?
I was reading his book, Life.
Really? I didn't expect that.
Yeah, believe it or not. And he just dropped that. It's an amazing book if you ever read it. You don't even have to like the Stones. Just read it. It's very entertaining. But just somewhere along the line, he's like, yeah, no, any part in the storm, baby. You know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And I thought, oh, any part in the storm. I'm like, oh, that would be a good lyric.
It would be good, yeah.
I just wrote him from there. I just thought, okay, metaphors, storms.
Yeah.
You know, a guy, whatever.
Yeah, very nice. I mean, that's kind of like folk pop, sort of.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think once we started practicing with Brian, you know, it became electrified in a way, and you know, once we did it in the studio just recently, it just kind of went in another direction.
Yeah.
Well, same vibe, same feeling, but there was just elements electrically that just kind of took it to another place.
Sounds like you're in a storm. There's a lot of like cello work, and Eric came up with this amazing guitar thing that sounds, I don't know, sort of like a thunder, between thunder and, I don't know, freight train or something. And it's good. It has a nice melodic thing to it, added with the strings, and there's all kinds of... It sounds like chaos, which is what it's supposed to be.
Yeah,
before
absolutely.
It goes into a little more calm verse.
Crashing in the waves. And
yeah, it's fun. Yeah. I can't wait to everyone to hear it.
So you're in the process now of finishing these recordings of these last three?
I think final mixes. We're just about there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we'll start posting it on our Facebook
site.
Actually,
Eric said, I want to post we're going to post Any Port in the Storm tonight on our website and Facebook.
Yep.
So okay. I think about 8:00 if you're around.
No,
I
mean, don't forget your anyway. Don't forget your favorite DJ. You want to send it over here.
Absolutely.
Because I'll play. I want to play it.
Yes.
Because
cool.
I'm really intrigued about what you did when you know had all the instrumentation the way you want it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. And speaking of where the you guys record, Mark, you gave me a CD about 3 months ago, kind of an EP of theirs. And the first track that I heard was Color Blue, and that's what you want to play next.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about Color Blue. It's a, you know, because it's a great track to start off an EP. It just sort of hits you in a good place.
Yeah, Color Blue was kind of like the first song that we started to sort of say, hey, we should start recording these songs. Lyrically, Color Blue really reminded me of... what do you call it? The blue period of Picasso's okay. blue period. So this is just kind of sort of a bluesy, sort of jazzy, modern sort of approach to what I might do for a blue period, you know, for Picasso. So or in thinking that Picasso did this in his blue period.
So a wonderful sax player to
absolutely
play.
Yeah, Chris Pitts, who
played saxophone on it and came in and just nailed it.
Just he nailed it. He gave it this Steely Dan sort of vibe, and our eyes were just mouth agape and eyes wide open when he put the three part harmony saxes that were involved, and the solo is just killer. So
all
have
right.
a listen.
I think people are chomping at the beat here. So let's give you everybody out there a taste of what the Cast Iron sound like when they're in the studio and they put down a track like this, like Carl Blue. This is WMFO in Medford.
Listen to my own advice. I painted you with every color tune in a frame of gold. As the colors fade in with every day, staring at the canvas, only thing I see is the color blue. Cup of coffee is there still as I stand past the windowsill. My stomach turns, my eyes are dry, I feel the aches down deep inside my soul. Oh, I painted you with every color too in a frame of gold. As the colors fade and with every day, staring at the canvas, the only thing I see is the color blue. Darkened sky springs me to color blue. Here I lay awake at night. There's a candle lit, but still no light. Lovers fail and try the best, but limits were put into the test. I painted you with every color too in a frame of gold. As the colors fade in with every day, staring at the canvas, the only thing I see is the color blue. Color blue, sing.
WMFO Medford. That's Cast Irons and Color Blue. And it's really cool for me because these guys are sitting around here, you know, with these great JBL speakers listening to their track being played, and you were just doing all sorts of happy gesticulations. What were you thinking about during hearing your song played?
It's just pretty killer hearing them through these JBLs.
Yeah, the JBLs are great.
Yeah, I mean, everything you played, I'm like, I want to get this. I want to get this. I don't have this. I want to hear it through these.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, what were your thoughts about? Are you happy with the way the mix came? I mean, hearing it played in a totally separate...
Mark Daly.
Yeah. Mark Daly. Yeah.
I've known Mark Daly for, I met Mark, probably 1987, 88. I bought a guitar from him, and I went to his house, and he was having a party, and I bought a guitar from him, and was hung up the whole night. And he's been a friend ever since. He's a great guy, and, he's always run a recording studio as long as I've known him.
Yeah, he really captured you well on there.
He did.
He did a great job.
That's a complex song, you know, with all the sax, horns, arrangements, and stuff. Yeah. And then some of the newer tunes you'll hear when we release them, there's a lot more backing vocals that you probably won't hear on those first three tunes.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And they sound really nice.
He's great at pushing you to the next level, you know, vocally, you know, guitar-wise, drum-wise, bass-wise. He's very objective in hearing the mix.
But very simpatico. Like, he knows what we're going for, you know.
Absolutely.
And he just brings it every time. So we're totally happy with Mark Dale.
I'm sure he hears what I hear, which is you guys definitely have some, you know, simpatico going on here. I mean, you mesh well. And it sounds like, you know, you could really take this to, you know, cliche, another level. But it really got a really nice sound. It's coming together well. You know, it's because I got a lot of bands in here, and it's nice to see the interaction. Like, it's sort of like I'm proud of what I'm hearing. It was nice.
It's good to be noticed in that.
Yeah, we don't sit around and go, "Wow, I'm so proud of that." But we all are.
It's really, you know,
it's kind of unspoken, but
it's really some nice stuff. Yeah. We're all really proud of it. I mean,
And hearing it on these speakers is amazing.
We work really well together.
We're just trying to do what our inspirations have done for us.
Yeah,
they've written, you know, tons of great music out there, and we're just trying to replicate that in even a minuscule way, you know, just as much as we can. But we're having fun, and that's the most
important. Yeah, it is.
I think that's the most important thing.
It is.
Yeah.
Okay, it's now WMFO Medford. It's about 10:24 in the morning, and I want to tell everybody, before we have another live track from these guys, November is Donations Month here at WMFO, and this week is the end of it, and it's really important for us to make sure that we have the equipment here, and we have all the records that we need, and we can go out and do live broadcasts, and of course, we need your help to do that. So I want to play a little bit of a donations PSA. It'll tell you all about how you can help us out. Anything you could send would be definitely appreciated. There's some nice swag when you go to our website, WMFO.org. You can see that. And if you feel like it, if you go there and donate something, thank you so much. And if you want to mention you heard Mike on the mic, that'd be very much appreciated. All right, check this out. We'll be right back after this.
It all started in January of 1970. 40 years later, we still play your freeform music. WMFO's annual drive is in effect. We need your support to keep WMFO running so we can keep giving you your favorite music and bringing you the shows you love, such as The Lounge, On the Town with Mikey D, Bubbles in the Think Tank, and many more. Donate now by logging on to donate.wmfo.org. That's donate.wmfo.org. Or mail a check made payable to trustees of Tufts College and send it to WMFO. P.O. Box 65, Medford, Massachusetts, 02155. Thank you from all of us at your freeform station, 91.5 WMFO.
See, whoever made that PSA knows what's up. Use the Beatles as a bed? You can't miss.
Yeah.
You can't miss.
That was a good...
Yeah, so in all seriousness, everybody, thank you so much. If you can consider giving something to us, it just helps us to keep doing what we love to do, which is playing music for you here at Tufts Freeform Radio.
Amen to that.
All right, so back to our in-studio guests. They're the Cast Irons, and we heard a couple tracks already, one live and one recorded. And happy to say we've got another one that's live, and it means it's brand new, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, this one's called Unsettled.
Yeah, and a little bit about this one.
Lyrically, I believe it kind of drives home the thought of you're always looking in the mirror, and sometimes you're your worst enemy, and sometimes you just have to get out of the mire and the muck and just kind of face your junk. And this is basically about that.
Just things that everybody has to.
Absolutely.
Come to terms with.
As cliche as it is, but we deal with that every day.
Everybody does. So. Live in Studio A, everybody. It's the Cast Irons. Once again, this one's called Unsettled, WMFO. WMFO Medford. That was Cast Irons Live in Studio A with a brand new one called Unsettled. And geez, I, you know, it really sounds great just being right here. I mean, I've definitely got the catbird seat. You know, I mean, it's excellent. So, so that song, I know that was one of the ones that was after the recordings in June.
Yeah.
So, did these new songs sort of come together at the same time, or did you have a couple in your pocket? Or
I'd say several months, a few months later, and then these three songs. Any Port in the Storm actually was written several years, a few years ago anyway.
Yeah. Oh, the whole these, thing, music, lyrics, the whole thing?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But then these two, the next two songs, Unsettled and the next one, Tallulah's Broken Heart, we created that. We wrote that, I would say, probably within the last 5 months, 5 or 6 months,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, we had some other ones that were in the running, and we decided that we didn't, that we liked Port better. It was a better choice for the... for the group.
Yeah, for the vibe of the three songs that we were going to record again, or going to go into the studio to record, and they just had a lot more
really
of a
excited about
similar
those
vibe.
Three in particular, so that's like the other tunes that we were going to do, but we just thought we'd get these ones down.
Was it really important to you that with the next three songs, stop doing that. With the next three, I keep smacking the microphone. With the next three songs, was it important to you that you felt that you made progress in your performance and the writing and the?
I think we always tried to do that, regardless, and I think we have as far as a band getting tighter, writing better songs. I and the fun thing is, and the great thing is that they're still in the same vein of what we've been trying to write. Even in the past, it's,
no matter what we do, it always sounds like us.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, there you go. I totally agree with Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob French, there, everybody. Bob French.
As I said, we have a great time too. We're all buddies.
Yeah.
A good portion of it, we play for maybe 4 hours or something mm-hmm. like that, and a good portion of that is laughing and making fun of each other.
Yeah.
And it's just a riot. I love getting together with these guys because it's going to be a good time. And then the music's almost like the bonus, you know. And we write really pretty effortlessly. All of our ears are open.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of know each other by now from playing so many years together, and it's just kind of anticipate what we're going to do.
Absolutely.
We just roll with it. You know, those songs, all three of those songs, they weren't labored. They didn't last for months. They were written literally, I don't know, maybe hour or half hour.
Yeah.
Some of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Tallulah, we wrote right off the. He just Eric came up with a lick he was playing, some sort of blues lick, because we were big Tom Petty fans. We actually just saw Tom on the last tour.
Oh,
thank God,
yeah.
We saw him then, but he was amazing. So we're all crushed about that. But
yeah.
Even before that, we were kind of inching towards maybe wanting to do it soon, like Mike Campbell and other guitarists and Petty.
Absolutely.
And he was playing a Mike Campbell type riff, and then we just started launching in this blues thing that sounded fun. And I said, we should call it Tallulah's Broken Heart, which just appeared out of nowhere. It's such an absurd title. Mm-hmm. And then we went with it.
Yeah.
And Eric and I wrote the lyrics, and yeah.
They came right. Lyrically, it came together just like that.
Yeah.
So we'll look forward to Tallulah's Broken Heart. That'll be the last one that you'll play for us.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I want to go back to the EP now.
Yes.
Another one that was recorded a couple months ago. So I wonder the difference, or if there is any difference, really, in the sound or the vibe, whatever I'm trying to say, of Darkness. What do you think before we spin this one?
I think Darkness is definitely one that I think stands out as the most, a bit different from the other songs. It's definitely got a Police sort of vibe to it, and once you play it, I don't know. We thought
right
it
away, yeah.
Kind of sounded like a sort of a Police song.
From what era of the Police?
That's
probably the earlier stuff.
Probably,
that's
yeah,
the good stuff.
The earlier stuff.
So the punky kind of.
Yeah.
That's, I could hear that being like a Zenyatta type of thing. That's
yes.
Summer's guitar picks, arpeggiations
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even,
you know,
yeah.
I just hope it sounds like that.
Well, now that you've committed yourself.
Absolutely, yeah.
So what is the basic tenor of the song? Darkness can be kind of dark, or it can be.
Yeah, well, I think lyrically, how I wrote this was I had a ghost in mind. So basically, you know, a lost soul, not to sound cliche, but a lost soul who has been doing some really evil and dark things. And, you know, it's coming from the perspective of this ghost that I'm speaking about. So let's just say that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Very intrigued. For sure. Okay, this is recorded.
But you can dance to it. Sorry.
Yeah, you don't want to see me do that. All right, so...
Believe it or not.
No.
We're going to in studio, so.
Okay.
Well,
I'll watch you do that while we play Darkness. This is from their EP, recorded back in June sometime, and it's live. No, it's not, actually. Well, we're live, but the song isn't. Do you know what I mean? All right. This is Cast Irons in Darkness here at WMFO, Medford.
A breath that lasts forever, you've kept deep inside. When a soul becomes an empty house, so far out of reach, you see it from the outside. Deception you can't teach. When I meet you in the darkness, I'll see you in the light. I see you in the light.
right, so that was Darkness, everybody. Recorded version of the Cast Irons from their EP from back in June. Kind of about a ghost, I guess, huh?
Yeah.
It was really nice. Now that I know what it was about, as Neil was saying, it's nice to know what it's about. It's the music itself was kind of ethereal too.
Yes.
So it's kind of nice.
Agreed. Yes, I agree with the. I think I was playing Fender Strat, and that leads to Strats usually through Fender. Amps usually lead to great, they take effects really well, and yeah, I just had a ball working with these.
Yeah, that was great.
Thank you.
That was great. So it looks like, oh, you're very welcome. It looks like the next one that you've picked would go very well into this. It's called Endless Dream.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
Funny thing is I don't remember too much of what I was thinking during writing this, but
it was written the same night that we wrote Color Blue.
I think it was, yeah, I think musically it was. Lyrically, I think I was listening to Radiohead's Kid A album, and I think one of the songs, How to Disappear, I think that's How completely, to Disappear yeah. Completely. I was listening to that, and I kind of wrote some lyrics after hearing that, and this is kind of what came up from that.
Okay. And just another thought, I mean, how many takes does it usually take you guys to have it be tracked completely?
One and done, kids. One and done. No, really though. Yeah, but really.
Well, the first three, not so much, but that was our... This last one, though.
We tend to work pretty efficiently when we get in the studio.
I think we're well-practiced enough to get maybe two or three takes.
Yeah, we tracked... Yeah. This last time, we tracked all three drum tracks, and then most of your guitar and the bass.
Yep.
And a lot of your guitar, and then you came in the next day and did overdub guitars and vocals.
Yeah.
Done.
That was my next question. Do you record it all live instrumentation, or do you do it separately? Obviously, you do it separately, but are there times when you've done it live?
We track live for the drums.
Okay.
For
the drums, and then, yeah. I see, and then somebody has that in the headphones, and
yes.
I see.
I think at some point, I was contemplating this, we should record live at some point in a studio somewhere.
Absolutely.
That'd be fun.
Well, you're kind of doing that today. You're not mic'd up the way you should be, but,
live. This is perfect.
We're making do.
We're doing okay.
Great time.
All right, so let's hear another one from that original EP back in June. This is Endless Dream, and anything else to say before we spin this?
Yes, we did two versions, an electric and an acoustic version, and Bob had a really good idea of doing an acoustic version, so we did that.
Mandolins
in it.
Overdubbed mandolins.
Bob, you overdubbed some mandolins.
Mandolin upright bass.
Upright bass, so yeah, have fun with this one. Yeah, it's very REM.
Very jangly.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
I might even play them both, so that we can
all right.
See the difference.
Contrast. There you go.
I think maybe I will. All right, let's hear the acoustic one first. This one is called Endless Dream, the Cast Irons here at WMFO, Medford. Dream.
surprised it wasn't in the street. Wasn't in the street.
It's WMFO, everybody, 10:53 in the morning. That was a double dose of Cast Irons there.
Yes.
See what I did there?
That was really
yeah.
Cool.
And as we mentioned, it was an acoustic and an electric version of that particular song. I'm just laughing because everybody's like laughing at me, especially Kirsten.
No, we're
yes,
laughing
you are.
With
in a good way.
With you,
but I mean, so you were saying before we went into the first track, the acoustic one, that you know, you decided to do both tracks. So both. So tell me what you think of the difference between the both of them, and what it means to have two versions of it.
I think it was mostly vibe, and Bob had a great idea of doing it acoustically, and Bob plays mandolin as well. So I think it was just like, hey, what the hell? Let's give it a go. You know, it
seemed to lend itself really well to that.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I just think we kind of went with it.
Good intuition.
Yeah, yeah, and Bob has these great ideas a lot of the time, and it's just that panned out really well.
So the electric happened first.
We were practicing as an electric tune, and then we, yep. You know, when we got in there, I said, "Wait a minute, let's do a different version of this too."
Yeah, yeah, and I just think that the I don't know how we would play it live. I don't know because I like both so much.
Yeah.
The electric version, for some reason, edges it out just a little bit because I mean, it is on the radio, but I can hear it on the radio just playing.
Right,
it's a real radio edit kind of a track. It's really nice and polished and poppy.
Eric Solo is really nice.
Yeah, very.
Reminiscent of Mick Fleetwood, or not Mick Fleetwood,
Lindsey
Buckingham. Yeah, which is easy to replicate.
Yeah.
So, Mike, are you looking at me because I'm going to vote for the acoustic version?
No, that's fine.
That's Kirsten, everybody.
I'm saying the acoustic version, but I'm a big fan of the mandolin, so.
Thank you.
The only problem with that is that I can't play both the upright bass and the mandolin at the same time.
Well, why not?
Yet.
Yeah,
yet.
Right.
Yet.
Exactly.
I just want to say, when we first started out, we usually were playing acoustic anyway, so I think a lot of these tunes are pretty much adaptable to acoustic.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
Unsettled, you would think wouldn't really work as an acoustic, but you know we're pulling it off. It's just you have to find the heart of it and just the right tone. And
absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway,
I agree. I totally agree.
That would
all right. So we're gonna. You guys are gonna treat us to one more live.
Yes.
Very excited about this.
Yes.
This one is the Tallulah. What's the full title?
So Tallulah's Broken Heart. This one came from Neil. Neil's great. He's a great lyricist. So
thank you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, for some reason, I pictured Louisiana, and I pictured this dingy bar with a sad lady at the end of the bar, and her name, I guess, would be Tallulah.
Well, in this scenario,
like
it better be.
Tallulah.
So we went with it.
Yeah.
All right. So, we talked a bit about this. I'm very interested in hearing this. So, one more time, live in Studio A, the lovely Studio A. It's a Cast Irons. This one is Tallulah's Broken Heart, everybody.
Thank you.
One, two, one. My
the booth.